Network. I'm your host, Fierce Manson, and today is Friday. It is Fast Friday Hornet. It is moving and shaking all over town around here. It is May 27, 2022, 4 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone and 5 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Y'all know what I'm going to say. The Eastern Standard Time Zone is the time zone there are my socks off, honey. You know, I got to push it up to the ATL, to my home team. Must give a shout-out to my team, Fierce Nation International, the hardest working team on the planet. They are based in Kenya, Zimbabwe. Do have members in East and West Africa. Do have members in UK and Germany, and my honorary member in India. Karan, Patorti. Guess what, y'all? This show is being brought to you by Gumba. Gumbarum.com. That's GUBBARUM.com. Gumbarum.com. We do have two different rums. We have one infused with vanilla and one infused with coconut. It's silver and gold. And Steve Gum, the CEO of Gumbarum, will be in New Orleans, Louisiana in June the 7th and the 12th. Now, listen, it is for a sip and sample. It is not to get drunk. Nope, you can't. You can't get sloppy drunk. Now, listen, don't come down to New Orleans. Don't come down there with your big old pitchers. We ain't trying to fill up a gallon pitcher of Gumbo Rum. We ain't trying to do that, okay? Now, listen, let me tell you, I will not be there with the kissing booth. I will not be giving out any free kisses at the rum show. Listen, it is New Orleans Wine and Food Expo. Yes. So you can get a little sample and a little taste of food. So this is going to be going on in June. Now listen, y'all. My boots is shaking over here. My boots is shaking. Oh, Lord. My boots is shaking. Lord, the power is on the line. The power is on the line, Dr. Jazz. Lord, I done fell in love with this man, y'all. I done fell in love with Dr. Jazz. Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to say hello to him in a few minutes, but let me tell y'all. Listen, he's a real man of God, y'all. He's a real man of God. Lord, today my boots is shaking. You know, I can't even ride my bull. Y'all know I love the rodeo. I love the rodeo. So listen now. My boots is shaking. My cowgirl hat done fell off here in the engineer booth. And I'm telling Dr. Jams. Hello? Dr. Jams, you're on the air. Dr. Jams, you're on the air. Hello, Dr. Jams. Let me get him, y'all. He's here. Don't you worry. He's here. Hello? Dr. Jams? Area code 310.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
This is Hollis, actually.
No wonder you didn't say anything. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm sorry. I thought I was waiting. I'm sorry. Yes, that's Hollis Morissette. I was calling in to just say hi. How are you?
Oh, isn't that nice? Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in to say hello. That is so wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was just calling in. I know we were going to be chatting today, so I just wanted to call in and
okay.
Just talk about the show and music and any questions you had for me.
Absolutely. You know what? Your music is phenomenal, and I did a feedback the other day on the show with your song, and I'm telling you, when I was talking about the hook, when you come in that three-second mark, it's just unbelievable how you just go straight in for it. You go for the juggler, and it's just, bam, you got our attention.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that one was, I would say it's one of my favorites that I have written so far. I really love writing music, and I love doing my own background vocals and producing my music. It's not easy, but I love doing it all. And just watching my journey and just growing throughout the entire time, I think is what really counts and what matters. But that song for me has a lot of meaning. And I felt like it would resonate with a lot of people. And I had a lot of fun writing it. And so when I wrote it, I said, yeah, let's get in the studio right now.
Okay. You know, you have an exciting background because you do a variety of things, which I truly believe in 100%. I love when entertainers and artists do a multitude of things. So I know that, you know, you do your songwriting and you're a singer, and you were a former Mr. United States pageant title holder. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. That was a dream come true. It really was. You know, that's something that I have dreamt about and manifested since I was 13 years old. You know, I don't know, at the time, I didn't know a whole lot about pageantry. But, you know, you always saw Miss USA and Miss America and Miss Universe. And I always said, there has to be a male version of that. And if not, I want to create it. And here I am years later in my 20s. And I said, you know what? The time is now, because this is when I wanted to do it. And actually, I won my – so how it worked out for me, I had to actually compete for my state title first. And I ended up becoming a Mr. Michigan United States state title holder. Now, although I do live in California, that's my home, I haven't lived in Michigan in over 11 years. But I just wanted to pay, you know, some type of tribute to where I grew up. So I competed as Mr. Michigan United States and did not think I was going to win. And I ended up winning. And then when I competed nationally for Mr. United States, that was also a dream come true. Now, I had to do my competition via the pandemic. So everything hit at once. The lockdown started, and here I am getting notices saying, oh, but the show must continue. You have to compete. And we made history by competing virtually. So we still had to do everything. We still had to do runway fashion. We had to do evening wear, swimsuit, onstage question, you name it. It was very much we had to do all of that, but we had to do it virtually. And we made it work. And then when I was crowned, I was like, oh wow, like I actually did it. Like I manifested my dream. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool. You know, and to be honest with you, I did not know that there was a Mr. United States pageant. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people do. There are a number of people who do know about it. But I think just because everyone is mostly familiar with, like I said, Miss USA and you know, things like that, the pageants like that, that they don't recognize there are the male versions. So basically, Mr. United States is the brother organization to Miss USA. And there's also a Mr. Universe. There's a Mr. Supernational. There are these different male pageants as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was aware about Mr. Universe. I'm aware of that particular pageant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, there's that one, and there's also Mr. World. There are a number of pageants, and then you have your international pageants, like I said, Mr. Supernational, and the director who I know really well, who is the director and creator of Mr. United States, he wanted me to compete internationally, and I didn't think I was ready. And then I was so busy and writing my music and all the other things I was doing in my career. I was just like, I don't know if I'm ready. I haven't thought that far. I'm not writing it off, but I just haven't gotten that far yet.
You know, I want to tell you, there's a lot in your background and your history that's fascinating that I want to talk about, because I did look at your website and I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know that you had written a children's book. And so when I was looking at the website, I found that information. I said, that is really neat. Now, how did you come to write a children's book? Was it one of your passions that you always wanted to write a book, or?
Yeah. Well, I thank you for that. First of all, thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much. And For writing a children's book, that's something that came to me last minute. I actually have written 3 books, but this is my first published book. The very first book that I've written, which I'm still finalizing, it's actually a cookbook. I remember it was after being crowned, and it was fall of 2020, so I was still in my reign. And I just remember thinking, even though I'm doing these interviews and I have these photo shoots and I'm doing all these different things, I still like to keep busy. What can I do to keep busy? And then I thought about it. I said, oh, it's 2020. These kids were robbed of their childhood. And I couldn't imagine. I thought back to my childhood. I said, you know, I was outside playing. I was going to camp. You know, I was going to school. These kids aren't able to go to school. They have to do everything from home. They can't have these backyard parties. They can't do anything. Everything is locked down, shut down, and it's just stay in the house. And the last thing that I wanted to do, the last thing that I wanted children to feel as if this pandemic were their fault, you know, and I know that sounds weird, but you know how sometimes parents will get divorced and then the child is like, well, is it my fault? I didn't want them to kind of develop those feelings like, oh, is it because of me or did I take too much space up? Is this why this pain? You know, there are different things that people can think about or however you want to put it. But I just wanted a place for children to feel good. So I said, you know what, how can I uplift these kids? We're in a time where these kids need to know that they are more than enough. And so that's when I wrote the book and I said, you know what, we're going to get this message across that kids need to know they're more than enough. They're deserving of love, and they're deserving of giving love, and they are worthy of having friendships that are genuine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And so you really piqued my interest when you said you're finalizing a cookbook. Is that correct?
I am. That one's a long time coming. I have 2 other books that I am working on, but that one is taking a bit more time just because it's not just about the cooking, you know, I'm designing the app as well. And also, this is food that I'm putting in people's stomachs. So I don't want it to be like, oh, this is the recipe that you created. I don't want to eat this, you know, or you messed up my stomach. You know, I don't want it to be like that. So I think it's just taking a bit longer because I'm always how can I say it? I'm always redoing recipes. Like sometimes I don't like the certain sauce that I made, so I'll do something different. Or I'm creating, you know, not just that, but also in my book, I provide alternatives. Some people might be vegan, so I have a vegan alternative to the original dish, or I'll have a vegetarian dish, or, you know, things like that. I want them to have options, so it's not just a one-way cuisine.
You know, I love that. I love that you're including everyone because sometimes, you know, believe it or not, you know, I'm going to say I was a vegetarian for many years, and so I'm transitioning into becoming vegan, which does take time, and it's not easy. You know, it does take time to eliminate certain things out of your meal plan. But I'm going to tell you something, Holly. Sometimes some people aren't accepting of vegetarians or vegans, believe it or not. Sometimes I don't know what it is or why some individuals kind of shun you for not eating meat as if you are some type of Martian or some type of weird person. And so that's something I have experienced. It's like, well, this isn't strange. This is what I choose to do for me. So I don't think, and my point in saying that is that I appreciate what you're saying with your cookbook, that you're including also vegetarian recipes and vegan. You're including, so everyone is feeling, you know, acknowledged that there is a recipe in your cookbook that, you know, you have vegetarian, then vegan. And so that makes me feel good that we're included in your recipe, that you're thoughtful, that there are different ways to fix a dish other than just the American way of just meat, or, you know, you're including different choices. I like that you're giving everyone a choice to fix the recipe this way or to do it that way. And so I appreciate that, and I thank you for doing that with your cookbook.
Of course, I'm happy to do that. You know, I love inclusivity, and that was actually the reason of me even starting a cookbook. Fun fact. I love relatability. So I love to just be relatable. So when I actually started my cookbook, it was full vegan because I was a vegan actually. And then I transitioned out of it. But I do still eat a vegan and vegetarian lifestyle pretty often. Now, I guess my story was a little different just because it was something that I wanted to experiment with, and then I ended up becoming a vegan for a year, and I cut out meat cold turkey. Like, for me, it wasn't a big deal. I did have some things that I had to learn along the way, obviously, but it was fun, and I found that for me, and I understand exactly what you're saying, because when I did it, I would go to restaurants and ask for certain things, and they would look at me like I had come down from Mars. You know, they just made it seem like it was a big deal.
What is that? Why do people do that?
I think society has conditioned people to, first of all, react a certain way when it's something foreign to them, even if it's, whether it's food or you decide to paint your car a different way or whatever the case may be. You can have a certain type of home decor. I think people are conditioned to automatically react. It's almost like the saying that most people, they don't listen to understand. They listen to respond. I think it's sort of like in that vicinity, you know, because when people, if you really took the time to understand someone, then you really wouldn't judge. And so I think people are already conditioned to just react like, oh, you don't want to eat meat. How could you give that up? And it's like, well, that's fine. That's your lifestyle. You know, everyone has a lifestyle that's not just accustomed to food. Everyone has a lifestyle that someone could honestly say, why are you doing that? Or, oh, is that how you want to do things? But again, it's none of anyone's business. Someone's personal lifestyle is their lifestyle. That's just that. It's their lifestyle. It's not like they're going to cast some disease on you. You know, that's just let them be.
Wow. Oh, wow. I'm just going to let that soak in. I'm letting it soak in. Because what you just said, oh, wow, the energy and the spirit and what you explained it, I'm letting it soak in because that was really, really powerful, what you just said. Mm-hmm. You know, we listen, and so I'm going to practice that more, listening to understand and not listen to respond. You know, oh, that was just really, really powerful. That was really huge. And so everyone that's listening in, I want you guys to really soak that in. And we need to practice that more, listening to understand different individuals. That was really, really powerful. It really was.
Yeah, and it's something that I'm still working on. I mean, of course, I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. So I've had to learn that, obviously. You know, I'm glad to be learning it in my 20s, but I don't think it really matters the age that you learn it. I think it's just a matter of actually getting it and practicing it, you know. But I've had my moments where I'm just like trying to, you know, I guess get through just like everyone else. But I think just for me, I don't want to just get through life. I'm an explorer, and I love experiences, and I love learning along the way. You know, I love teaching, but I also love to be taught. You know, it just like in the words of Maya Angelou, you know, when you get give, when you learn, teach. And that's just, I love to follow that motto.
You know, your wisdom is far beyond your years. And I find that so fascinating. I find that fascinating. That's wonderful. You know, and I like that you're open to different possibilities, you know, when it comes to learning. And when I'm listening to you, it's just like a lot of times during the show, just to let you know, a lot of times spirit does show up, you know, and I see that maybe in the future, I don't even know if you've ever thought about doing this type of thing. It's almost like I can see you sitting in a chair and you're talking one-on-one with different individuals, not life coaching, but a step beyond life coaching. I can see you sitting in a chair real calmly and you're talking with someone and you're sharing with them and it's almost like you're doing a setting of where individuals are learning from you, life experiences, and you're helping them along the way. That's what I'm saying. That's what's showing up right now. The atmosphere is very accepting and individuals coming to you because you have an open door for safe spaces. You offer, oh, wow, I felt that. You offer a safe, different individuals. And blow up huge for you as you help different individuals along your journey. And I just feel that coming into your space a little bit later, maybe not now, but maybe a little bit later during your journey in life, that's something that is going to bring in another stream of income for you, and it's going to be really, really powerful for you.
That would be fun. I would love that. Let me get my Grammys first. No. But no, I wouldn't mind. No, I would love to you know, talk and help, you know, and also not only just have people learn from me, but learn myself along my own journey, you know, and also, you know, I think it's great when you can teach, but I wouldn't mind having someone teach me along the way as well, you know, because I'm always striving, even if it's just 1% better than yesterday. I think that's such a great accomplishment. You know, 1% is always, is something, it's better than nothing. And 1% can be pretty grand if you are better than the version you were yesterday. And that's what I always strive, to at least do something and be better than yesterday.
I love that. And I do want to play your music. I've been showcasing your music this week, but I do want to play Your Love Is. And I would love to give you the opportunity to talk about this particular piece of music, Your Love Is, and how it came into fruition for you.
Okay, absolutely. I would love that. So Your Love Is, that song, when I wrote it, I wanted to spark something in people of all different areas. So even though, like, the lyrics are, you know, your love is, and, you know, the taste of your lips has me fiending, you know, and specifically when I say not sure if you heard me, let me repeat, that part is, like, very, very prominent, because it's like sometimes, and that goes back to not really listening to understand, listening to respond. That's why I say, you know, I sang, you know, not sure if you heard me, let me repeat it, because I want to make sure that you heard me. But the song is not just subject to people who are in romantic relationships. You know, even though the lyrics might seem that way, I wanted it to be geared towards, it could be a friendship. You know, your love is how you define it. Your love is how you have your friendships. It could be a friendship that you miss. It could be a friendship memory that you had. It could be a business relationship. It could be a relationship with your parents, your siblings, your significant other. It doesn't matter. The significance of the song is to recognize that love that you once had, or that love that you are longing for. Either way, that love is going to be in your life, and love is meant for everyone. And so that's why I wrote the song, because I'm like, there's something sparking in everyone. Everyone needs love. You can put on this big shell. You can put on this big, brave face and say, I don't need it. You do. Everyone needs love. And that's why I wrote the song, because I'm like, you know what? Love trumps everything, and I want people to feel that. That's why I wrote the song. I want people to feel love, not hate, not negativity, you know, nothing like that. Just be accepting of love into your life, and be accepting of giving love, because you are worthy of giving it, but you are also super worthy of receiving love.
Wow. Ooh, wow, you are the man. You are the man. I am telling you. You know, I could sit here and listen to you all day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Your energy is just so phenomenal. It's so calming. It's really calming. You know, if I had a little device where I could just, you know, turn you on and just pop on my headset and just take it with me all day, I would listen to positive affirmations, and you could just keep going I would listen to you all day long. I am telling you. Listen, honey. You're welcome. You're welcome. Listen, guys, we're going to listen to Your Love Is. You are phenomenal. Oh, your presence is just so, oh, my goodness. You know, people, we're all learning something as you're listening into the Fierce Thrill Network. I'm your host, Phil Smanson. But listen, we are all learning. I feel like I'm sitting at the at the table. You know, I feel like I'm sitting at the table. And it, I do. I feel like I'm sitting around the table. I'm at the table, and he's passing out different fruit because, you know, fruit is symbolic for love, and he's passing out fruit. And so I'm just taking it in. I'm taking it in. This is just,
yeah,
just awesome.
Good old berries and peaches.
That's it. That's right. So, everyone, this is the song Your Love Is. Take a listen. Take a listen.
Appreciate that. So it's really good to hear, especially in the world we live in. So, you know, I thank you, you know, just sharing my gift, you know, that God has blessed me with, and, you know, I must obey and be obedient and use the gift that he's given me, which is what I want to do anyway.
Amen. You're such an inspiration. You really are. You're so inspiring. And I'm telling you, you have given a lot during this time that you've been sharing. And I'm telling you, you really deposited a lot within me that I'm going to just carry throughout the rest of my journey. And that is so wonderful. And I thank you for that. You really shared so much. You have no idea. You have no idea. Yes. And when you were explaining why you wrote the song Your Love Is, I'm telling you, a lot of times, and we do, and I'm guilty. I'm guilty of it, of giving out love all the time and never really thinking about receiving it, you know, receiving it from other people, because I spend so much energy and time pouring into other people, and I don't really think about it coming back into me. So when you said
exactly.
that, it was powerful. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with asking for love. I meant to say that earlier. There's nothing wrong with asking for love in return. That doesn't mean beg for it. Don't beg for it. But there's nothing wrong with asking for love. Because, you know, with communication, it can get crossed. You know, it can get all mixed up. But mm-hmm. make it clear that I'm giving out this love, but, hey, I need love too. And I'm, you know, make that clear. And that's for
wow.
everyone, myself included.
Wow. That is wonderful. You know, the time went so fast. We are out of time. I am telling you,
know,
you've given so much so much wisdom and so many golden nuggets. You really have. I'm telling you, I don't know what I'm going to do with this particular episode. You know, I've been doing this. I've been on air since 2007. You know, and I must say, I apologize in the beginning. Dr. Jance was coming on, so I don't know what happened. That's why I was kept saying Dr. Jance, and then I said,
"Oh no, it's okay."
That's but listen, this is what I wanted to share with you, and I'm pretty much out of time, but I do want to say this. I've been doing this since 2007, and
wow.
I've never had an episode where I felt like I wanted to take an interview or the tape and maybe create some positive information for everyone. And I feel like this episode could possibly do that because so much is going on in the world today. And I know a lot of people are grasping for inspiration and positive words of wisdom to help them get through today. And I know that's going on. And I feel like this interview could certainly be used to help individuals, not to make any money or anything, nothing like that, just something where I could just post words said by Hollis, maybe on Facebook or on social media, you know, just to inspire other people that they can read it and know that, yes, you're worthy. You're worthy to receive love. You're worthy, you know, and I just feel like this interview could be used to repurpose in that fashion, not to make money, but just to give out so individuals can feel inspired and motivated to get through the day.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Everyone, like I said, is worthy of love. And I thank you for what you're doing. I think you're a great host. And yeah, I was waiting in line because I was like, well, maybe someone's before me, so I didn't know. But no, it's totally fine. And we had a great conversation. And you know, I have been listening to your radio station a few times, and I got to tell you, I think you are an amazing host. You are amazing at what you do. I've seen your past interviews before. I think you really, just like with myself, made me feel comfortable, and I see that you have made other guests feel comfortable. I love your energy. I just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, Hollis, I am out of time, and I'm going to do some more shows later. I have scheduled later on today, and I will be promoting your music again later on today. Did you have any last words that you want to give to the listening audience?
You know what? Just keep being great. Love people, accept love, and know that you are more than enough. And I love everyone.
Wonderful. Well, guys, this was an amazing, amazing interview. And just as I said, I will be, you guys know, I post every single morning on Facebook positive things. And so I'm going to be taking this interview. And, of course, it's going to be quotes. You guys, you'll know the difference. I'm going to put the quote and, of course, give him credit for everything he's been saying because I'm telling you, we need this. We need it. We need it to feed our energy, to feed our spirit, you know, to help us keep going on and get through the day. And I'm telling you guys, I don't want to end, but I'm out of time. I'm going to be back later. It's been a stone cold blast for me, honey. He has re-energized me, and I'm going to keep on trucking. Oh!
You motivate.